This is Will's Band of the Week for September 18th, 2016. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris from an undisclosed remote location.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm only within your mind.
Yeah, you're underground somewhere. Literally and figuratively, you're underground, right?
That both are true.
Yep. So, we almost didn't get this put together because customers had the gall to come into Barrett's shop. Can you believe that?
One of our employees called in sick. Actually, she quit. And these were going to be her two last days, yesterday and today. And then she emailed like half hour before she was supposed to start. Said her grandma got sick and she can't come to work.
That kind of sounds a little bit suspect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is it with people these days? What is it with the young people?
Damn kids.
Yeah. And then you were saying customers had the gall to come in when you were supposed to be here.
Yeah. Just constantly.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Could have done it live on site while making coffee, lattes.
I could have.
I was thinking that could be our first, if the coffee shop's good enough for my morning jacket, then it should be good enough for us to do a podcast on location.
That's
right?
True.
Think of the crowd we would get if you just announced that we were going to record it from the shop.
Oh, my God.
Be a little, I don't know, the shop might not be big
enough. We'd have to hire some extra people. We'd probably have to move it to maybe do it at...
The Kohl Center.
At the Kohl Center, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, the Coliseum wouldn't be big enough. Probably the Kohl Center would be. That's,
yeah, we're going to have probably...
It's about 17,000.
That'd be about right.
Yeah, probably be about right. Well, we do have 154,000 all-time downloads.
Well, if they all came and brought somebody, then,
So about 130,000 of those are probably ourselves and our moms, but that leaves still 24,000 that weren't us.
That's
good,
bad.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have all kinds of excitement this week. We have our promised reviews of Wilco. Mainly Wilco was the highlight, but I also mentioned the wedding present. And Chris has got another one too. So this is just going to be so exciting. First of all, any music news or live reports or anything like that? I don't think I've got anything.
I went to the Live on King Street thing on Friday.
The Kills
played. Kills were playing.
Yeah.
But with our neighbor invited us and we rode our bikes down there. We had to leave pretty early because Wilson had to get up in the morning at like 5 for a cross-country meet in Milwaukee. So I only saw a few songs and didn't really like it much.
The Kills, I don't think they're that good. I hate to talk negatively about a band on this podcast because we're positive thinking people.
Right. Yeah, I just don't like the kind of music they play. It's dull. Just kind of hard rocking music with yelly lyrics and...
Didn't they...
It's not like Cookie Monster metal?
No, not like that.
No, the Kills are kind of, they were that woman, Alison Mosshart, she had the Dead Weather with Jack White, right? So she's got indie rock cred because, if you recorded an album with Jack White, then you're cool, right?
Right.
But I think they had their peak in like 2011. So seems like a lot of the bands that play at that Live on King Street series are bands that had their peak in 2011.
Yeah, they're not at the top of their popularity if they're playing a free concert on Capitol Square.
But it's a cool thing, right? I mean, the series is cool. I love that they do it. And they have this, the block is great because it has an incline or, the band faces the Capitol and the band is kind of facing upward, which means the audience has a downward slope to look at the band.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And they have beer there.
They
which
have beer.
It's a rock and roll thing.
So, I mean... I don't know how much the promoters make on that. They must make a lot, they're selling $6 beers. So,
And the crowd, it's hard to estimate, isn't it? But you'd think it might be a couple thousand people.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, if they're playing at, you know, they'd say they played at the High Noon, what would they have, 150 people there, maybe?
Right.
Times $14 equals whatever that is.
Right.
You know, compared to what they sell, just, you know, I mean, they, a couple beers for each person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It should come out fine for them. Yeah. So
as opposed to the week before where you had Cake playing at Bree Stevens and you had to pay like $80 to get anywhere close to the stage, whereas Cake to me is like a, I mean, I know we just discussed them before, but I mean, that's like a $20 show at High Noon, best case scenario. So,
right.
And I saw photos there and it actually looked like the place was pretty full. So I think it's just a lot of people out there just to see the venue and kind of, you know, just kind of, it's like a giant tailgate, essentially.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but it is pretty expensive.
So you elected not to go then, Chris?
Yes. I exercised my option to remain home.
Yeah. That's probably a good option. Yeah.
For Wilco, who played there a couple weeks before, that's a decent segue. I mean, I could be talked into spending some pretty good money to go see that, but not for Cake, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about the fact that they had Steve Miller there too, which so I knew some people who went to that and liked it, but there's no way I could sit through that. But that's because I'm a music snob. But again, that's a thing that's kind of cool that they have it. Right. Although, you know, having gone to that Wilco show, and I told the story already about getting the free tickets for the Gold Circle.
Yes.
I think if you're not in the Gold Circle, you're kind of far away, and it's kind of maybe not so great, you know, unless you just feel like hanging out. I mean, I think if I like the band enough, I'd just have to swallow it and pay the money and go to the Gold Circle. Because I think when you're really far away, it's not the same.
Right.
I'm just trying to think of what venues I would pay like four times what I would normally pay for a ticket.
Yeah, that's
just to go see a band, just to go see the venue essentially.
That's a good. Yeah, I don't know what. I can't think of anything.
Arcade Fire at the Kohl Center, right? Bear would be all over that.
Yeah,
$80.
Oh, it wouldn't matter what it is. I'd get
What's the most you ever paid to go see a show?
That's a very good. Now, are we counting festivals or not?
No, don't okay. Count festivals because obviously then you're paying a couple $100 to see a bunch of people.
I paid I think $114 to see Paul McCartney this summer.
Really?
You never gave us a live report on that, Barrett.
I didn't?
No.
You know what? I was holding off because Wilson was going to do it. He wanted to do it.
Huh.
That was 3 months ago now. So I don't even remember.
It was too long ago.
Yeah.
I think the tickets that I ended up not using and selling to you and Wilson for the Who, those were like $75, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
you told me they were $150.
No comment. No comment. I can't even think of it right now. I don't know if I've ever paid more than like $50.
Just a few years ago, I think I paid like, it must have been like $85 or $90 to go see Simon and Garfunkel at the, I think they were at the Kohl Center.
Yeah, didn't it get postponed or something?
Happened. One of them got sick and the show was canceled and I got my money back and never got to go see him. I actually did shell out the cash.
Did they come back?
No, never, just canceled the tour and never came back.
Huh.
Did you, now since we're on the subject of Simon and Garfunkel, did either of you guys see when Paul Simon sang Bridge Over Troubled Water at the Democratic Convention? Did you see that?
It was dreadful. I did see it.
It was really bad. I felt bad because I was like, okay, he's this really famous, accomplished songwriter, and he's singing a song that he's just terrible at singing that song, right? I mean,
it's an Art Garfunkel song.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch it and say, okay, well, you know, that's cool because he wrote it or whatever. But it just, I just thought it was just really terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go. We're going negative today.
So which one of them was sick? It must have been Paul Simon, right? Because otherwise,
must have been. I don't know.
You know, I mean, if you're going to go see Simon and Garfunkel and they're like, Garfunkel's sick, so it's just Paul Simon. Everybody's like, okay, that's fine. But if it was like, actually, Paul Simon is sick. This is just the Art Garfunkel concert.
Nope.
That
money
would
back.
Not work. Right.
in true Trump form, we should have been harder on Paul Simon. Paul Simon, total loser.
Yeah.
What guy thinks loser. He can sing. Yeah, look right. at him. He looks like Grimace up there. He's so old.
Bad.
Right.
Bad. Yes.
Hashtag bad. Yeah.
Now that song has entered politics.
Oh, God. Yep. Well, we did promise a Wilco review. So to lead into that, I've got something. It's a little trivia thing, and let's see if you guys know the significance of this.
No, I can't forget this evening or your faces you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. No, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. Well, I had you there, but then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know.
I've got it.
Barrett's got it. Chris, do you have it?
No, I'll let Barrett go ahead.
That is a song from Nilsson Schmilsson.
Yes.
By Harry Nilsson.
And, right. Right. I always thought it was Nielsen, but I could be wrong. Nilsson Schmilsson. Harry Nilsson. Or Nilsson. N-I-L-S-S-O-N. So I could be wrong on that. Yeah. So inspiration for the Schmilko album by Wilco.
Right.
Is it supposed to be called just Schmilko?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Or is it supposed to be called Wilco Schmilko?
I think it's supposed to be called Wilco Schmilko.
Huh.
You know? I was actually going to bring that up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's important to know.
Right.
You got to call it by the right name.
Yeah, now, the official title, when you listen to it, is just Schmilko.
Well, right.
So I think they just assume you're gonna add the Wilco at the beginning.
Because they could put the title as Wilco Schmilko, you know.
They could if they wanted.
By the band Wilco. So I'm going to take the contrary and say it's actually just called Schmilko.
Well, I think
I'm not gonna
Chris just
disagree
proved
with that.
That's it, right? I mean, that's how it appears on iTunes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're the arbiter.
So
the difference between de facto and de jure.
That's Ooh, right.
That is excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, you like those?
I like that. I like that.
So it's the letter of the law is that it's Schmilko, but de facto it's Wilco Schmilko.
Yeah, we could say that. So, well, do you think that does Barrett get the credit for being the biggest Wilco fan on the podcast? At least like going back the farthest, I bet you followed them the most. So
yeah, I've liked them.
Willing to concede that.
So let's let Barrett give the first comments. We do have some listener comments too, but let's start with Barrett.
Well, I'll be the first to admit that I've kind of fallen off in my fandom a little bit. But I'd heard a lot of good things about this and was, you know, really quite looking forward to it. And I've listened to it a lot. You know, I went out and bought the LP like on the day it was released and played it over and over again. And oddly, it's just failing to make much of an impression on me.
Hmm.
I really want to like it, and there's some standouts, but overall, I just don't see that this fits into the top half of their catalog. And this is, I think, their 10th studio album, and it would be in the bottom half for me.
Well, you did say there were some standouts, so
mm-hmm.
let's find one of those and play it.
All right. I am going to choose the song Happiness.
My mother says I'm great,
That's Happiness from the Schmilko album.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that song just exude happiness?
Not really.
Yeah.
It kind of... that was like... would be on my lower half of choices from the album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's bad, but I think it shows that, to me, a bit of the album just kind of drags a little bit.
All right. Well, let's see what you got to pick.
I've got better stuff for sure.
I'll rip your song now.
Yeah. I've got two picks, so maybe I should turn it over to Chris, because maybe he'll pick one of mine.
All right. Well, I think I'm actually higher on this album than Barrett is. I, too, have kind of fallen off. I don't know how many times I even listened to Star Wars, which is their last album. And I kind of like this. So this is kind of unexpected. Since I didn't really have any expectations, I guess it's exceeded them. So I'm going to go with the next song, actually, which is Quarters.
A tavern where you worked was cold and dark as a cavern. You kept quarters in your shirt, but I never could just have them. You always made me sweet around every fly and floozy, under booths and bumps asleep. Waking up, they'd ask you, who's he? Behind a glass without a glance, my daughter's boy, you would say. Well, I stood there in a trance. Listening to the jukebox play.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so you get a little more experimental in there.
Right. Yeah, that is good.
Which is odd, because one of the things that I actually do like about this is that it's not really all that experimental. It's kind of more straightforward.
Yeah.
I just happen to pick the one song that has like kind of an interlude like that. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like kind of more old school without the bleeps and bloops and
right.
and stuff that they've been playing with.
And it's just kind of low-key, acoustic. More mm-hmm. so than any of their other albums that I can think of, at least.
Our listener, David, sent us a review. He didn't do the... we weren't very successful getting people to send us audio reviews. Only Nicholas did that. We'll get to that in a minute. But, I even tried it out. So I'm going to, just for future reference, listeners, I hit the voice memo command, and I recorded 20 seconds, stopped it, and then... right there on the screen of my phone was that little upload thing, right? Or the share thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I emailed it to myself. And literally the whole thing took me like a minute.
Yeah.
So, willsband@yahoo.com. Send us your comments. That would be cool. But, you know, if you want to just sit back and listen and not bother with that, that's fine too.
Right.
So this is what David said. He says, and now the brief Wilco assessment you asked the listeners to provide. I used to be a fairly rabid Wilco fan, but haven't paid attention to a new album since Sky Blue Sky. I listened to a lot of the new album on Spotify without a paid subscription, so the new record was interrupted regularly with tracks from the past, not to mention commercials. Every time one of these tracks came on, I had to fast forward so I could continue my Will's Band assessment. But I noticed each time how a track from Summer Teeth or AM or even later cut through the new stuff like a bright light shining into a dark and musty basement. Maybe this record would grow on me if I listened more, but I doubt it. The songs sure sound like competent Wilco songs, but they aren't compelling or exciting. Maybe the bottom line is that Wilco only had 6 or 7 good records in them. Is that so bad? I don't think so. The 85 Wilco tracks I still have in my iTunes library suggest that they were and are a pretty great band, but their peak was a while ago. He kind of sounds
right on
like
the button.
Sounds like what you thought, Garrett. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to say I'm a little bit more positive on it. I'm a little bit more like Chris's assessment in that I think I had low expectations, and part of it was I couldn't ever really connect that much with that Star Wars album. I didn't dislike it actively, but couldn't really connect. And when I put this one on, most of it, I thought, hey, this is actually pretty decent. There's one song that I just don't like at all. It's what I think they try to be too experimental. It's the one called Common Sense. It's got that weird percussion.
I don't like that one at all.
No, I think it's just like,
the worst
it's like, what were they
I've
thinking? I know, I actually think so too. So, but I like a lot of the other ones, and I'm going to just take the liberty of playing kind of the obvious one, the sort of the hit one, which I think is, this was in their live set, and I thought it fit in really well, and I think it's a simple song, but it's really solid. It's track 2, If I Ever Was a Child.
My wife was going to record something and send it to us, but failed to do that. But while we were listening, she pointed out correctly that I think that song just would fit on any Wilco album, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know that that can be said for much of what's on here. But, you know, I mean, I can easily see that on, you know, Summer Teeth or Being There or, you
yeah.
know, any of their... anything between Being There and A Ghost Is Born, which those are their best albums, I think.
So if there's such thing as a mainstream Wilco track, that would be it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are in the Melbourne Bureau, and what's your name?
Foxy.
And Foxy, what do you think of this music that's playing?
Good.
Anything else you think about it?
Because I like it.
Oh, okay, that's what we think of the new Wilco album.
Well,
okay, Foxy, I'm gonna ask you some more questions about this music, okay? What do you think of the songwriting?
Because I like it.
Okay, well, so what do you think of this album of Wilco's compared to their old albums? Which is better, their old ones or this new one?
the new one.
Oh, okay. And, like, what if you were to compare Will's Band of the Week to, say, I don't know, Pitchfork or NPR, which one would be best?
R2-D2.
R2-D2, okay, that's interesting. All right, well, thank you for your contribution. Anything else that you want to say?
Luke Skywalker dinosaur.
Luke Skywalker dinosaur. Okay. What do you think of the album title, Wilco Schmilko? What do you think of that as a funny name to call an album?
Good.
Wilco Schmilko.
Yes, my car. can we listen to what?
So Fox seems to be maybe a little ambivalent on it.
Yeah.
No, he took it right to Barrett, though. He likes the newer stuff, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, that's a direct confrontation. It was confrontational and challenging.
Yeah.
But, yeah, true. But then I think he was comparing it unfavorably against Star Wars, their previous album.
That's true. That was
sly allusions.
Yeah. The Star Wars album was definitely his favorite.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what's funny?
He actually stole exactly what I was going to say about this album, which is R2-D2 Skywalker Dinosaur. Right.
Yes.
So that was my exact review.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard a kid that young speaking with an Australian accent.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either. That's
it
cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, what, do you think they get it like when they turn 12?
No, we right. just don't hear it.
Like it's like puberty? They just like suddenly...
We probably,
I didn't say that I was surprised that he spoke with it.
They teach it in schools.
Yeah.
Children, at some point, you know, there are going to be some changes. Your voice is going to change.
Yeah.
You're going to start speaking with an accent.
Wow, really?
I'm pretty confident. I think that at that age, it's pretty likely that I spoke like a Midwestern U.S. nerd. Yeah, you never lose that. So, all right, there's one more track that somebody should have picked. Because it's pretty good, so let's play that. Track 11, We Aren't the World, Safety Girl.
Have you seen any mention? It's been quiet in detention all week. Is that so? I saw the once a party person candidate give a sermon, shook his fist like this. Is that so? I know a good Armageddon might have made my day, that day. Is that so?
Solid, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good Wilco song.
Just what we've played so far, I think, is enough to qualify it as a solid album, even if you don't think it's great.
Yeah, I don't dislike it, and I'm going to continue to listen to it, but it's just not, you know, I guess it's just, it's a little, it's kind of, it feels kind of lightweight to me, you know? I don't know.
It's just an appetizer for the next great album.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just a mouth, it's a cleanser after a palate cleanser.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's the new Wilco album. and all the opinions we could garner. Lots of different opinions, though. It's generated some varying opinions.
Right.
So, all right. Next, we have a pick that Chris has brought to us. It's a band I've heard of, but not heard. So let's hear it, Chris.
Yeah, I had not heard of them before just a few weeks ago. And they're a Chicago band called Russian Circles. And they've been around for a while. This is probably their fourth, fifth album, something like that. And I'm typically not a fan of the whole, you know, if you like this band, then you'll like this band. But honestly, if you like long kind of instrumental pieces, this is the band for you, much in the vein of Godspeed You Black Emperor, which is, you know, it's in the pantheon of one of my favorite bands. So it's kind of hard to pick a song from them just because they are typically, you know, really long and you know, there's hardly a beginning point and an end point, and they kind of flow in and out. But if you wanted to just get an idea, like start at the end of song one, which is Asa, and then it turns into Varel, and kind of run between those two songs a little bit, and we'll see if you can get an idea what they sound like.
Okay, here we go.
Yep, that sounds like Godspeed You Black Emperor, all right.
Yeah, so you have, I mean, technically, I think they're classified as a metal band, but it's not like, obviously, in the vein of what you'd typically consider to be a metal band, in that, first of all, there are no lyrics, and it kind of seems like almost like a nerdy metal band, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I really like it. It kind of veers between kind of the soft moments and then those kind of harsh moments with the huge drums and stuff, and I really like it. So that would be my recommendation. Listen to Russian Circles, and the name of the album is Guidance. So,
do you want to leave it at that, or do you want to play another segment?
No, I think that gives you an idea. I mean, you could, I couldn't even pick like somewhere other, you know, deeper in the album. You could just like throw something out randomly if you want, but I don't even know like where the songs begin and end. So,
well, I think the 2.5 minute mark of track 5 has to be good, right?
It's got to be good.
Yeah, let's try that.
All right.
Well, if that's what all of their albums are like, I'd go see them live.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in. And they're a Chicago band. I did go back and I listened to their album Empros, which is from 2011, which is kind of their most critically acclaimed album. And it's a lot like that, and I really like that one too. So I'm definitely going to go back and kind of revisit everything that I've missed up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Barrett will be happy to know that in iTunes, when you have this album open, it says albums you may also like, and they've got Funeral by Arcade Fire in there.
So. What? I don't agree with that.
Isn't that weird how they got like there? Sometimes we were just talking about this the other day in our family, how they have, they'll say similar artists, but they're really not similar at all. They're just like a correlation, right? Between,
right. I would say Mogwai is a pretty good one, but they also Band of Horses. Like, what sound less like Band of Horses than this?
There's a band, they list a band called This Will Destroy You, and I've listened to them a little bit, and that fits definitely because it's mm-hmm. instrumental, building, dramatic rock, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Explosions in the Sky is another one that's kind of like this.
All right, so if, I think I'd be in too to see these guys, it'd be fun.
So, cool, we'll check it out.
All right, good. All right, and, yeah, there's a new Wedding Present album, too. I think it's just so cool that there's a band called The Wedding Present.
Yes.
So, like, I think anything they do, we should talk about. And, of course, they're aging rockers, and their leader, David Gedge, he's, like my age. I think he's, like, 55, 56 years old. So that's kind of good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got such a... Here's a funny thing. Well, we should play a song, and then I'm going to tell you who two of my family members said that it sounded like. And it shocked me because it never occurred to me. All right. So, let me say this. This album is really long. So, and if a person thinks it's too long, I can't really criticize that. Except that, you know, I'm kind of a fan of the band, and I think that... in this case, they're kind of just letting things stretch out, and they're just kind of just taking liberties of saying, we just want to make a long album, and I'm kind of okay with it. So, if you listen, there are 20 tracks. If you make it all the way to track 19, you get rewarded with this really catchy song called Rachel.
So we could sleep under the stars, drink champagne, jump railroad cars, and then skim stones forever, because we're
That's The Wedding Present. The new album is called Going, Going.
Mm-hmm. I did not make it that far.
Didn't get album. To track 19. Yeah, it's very long.
It's long. And to be honest, I thought the first three songs were like a joke.
It is kind of a little bit crazy. Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It sounded like I thought, oh, well, I guess this is a soundtrack.
Yeah, there's one that's like a slow drum beat that just goes for like 4 minutes.
They're not even songs. And to start the album off like that, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. This is garbage. I was so mad. And then the fourth song came on. I was like, hey, this is great. And then the fifth one came on, and it was like, you know, pretty good. But overall, I was just like, I don't know what they're doing.
It got you off.
I don't want to listen to this anymore.
You didn't have the patience.
No. Why did... I can't think of a band that has ever started an album in that way.
It's an odd start, for sure.
Three crappy... not even songs.
No, actually, track three is okay, I think. The first two, and then number four, they're not the greatest. But, you know, then it kind of gets rolling, and then it's like a good Wedding Present album. So, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Chris, any chance you listened to this at all?
I have not listened to this, so I have no thoughts, but I'm with Barrett. Yeah, you gotta load your best stuff up to the front, I think.
Did you ever listen to The Wedding Present, Chris?
No, I'm not a wedding present connoisseur.
Sad to say. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going it alone on this one then. So here. Oh, I'm gonna play track three, which Barrett puts in as one of the bad ones, and let's see what the people think.
Wait a minute. I'm kind of going by memory, so if this has any words in it...
Yeah, I think it does.
...that aren't like
talking.
North by Northwest, five degrees, you know.
Yeah. All right, Barrett reserves the right to say this one's okay. It's called Marblehead.
you know, it sounds pleasant enough, but I was correct in lumping that in with the others. It's just, it's not a wedding present song.
That's kind of true. But I think that if they had started with that song, because they just wanted to do like the slow start, and then instead of those other oddball instrumentals, just kicked it in, I think that would have worked. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm saying that I'm okay with the long album, but yeah, a couple of those in the beginning are kind of, it gets off to a slow start. So beware that you could have the same reaction as Barrett if you
right.
delve into
like
it.
You
could throw your computer out the window rather than listen yeah. to anymore.
They're trying. Right. They're daring you. Like, I dare you to keep listening to this.
Right, right.
My recommendation would be to not get this album, but instead go out and buy George Best. Which
yeah,
is,
could do that.
That's an awesome, awesome album with a great cover. And the first song on that album, Everyone Thinks He Looks Daft, is pretty much, you know, one of my favorite all-time songs. So much better than this junk so-called album.
All right, let's play one more and we can dare Barrett to say that this is terrible too. Let's play track 10, Kill Devil Hills.
Has got brush against her thighs, it swayed as she walked, and there was hunger in her eyes. She moved in close when she talked. We had each other's stare for what seemed like far too long. She laughed, let down her hair, and then said, hey, do you know what's wrong? It's just that you can't resist me, so don't try. From second gets me in your eyes. Would like a man who knows what he wants. Would like.
It's okay.
Listen, you didn't get mad. You didn't storm out of. You didn't storm out of the studio. Okay, so both my wife and Grant like just immediately agreed that this sounds like Bob Mould. Would you like? I just never would have thought of that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like that to me.
I think they're. I don't know. I think maybe like his sort of deep, odd voice or something.
Didn't one of them say it and the other one agreed, or did they say this independently?
Both said it at the exact same moment.
No, my wife, my wife said it first, and I said, "God, that I don't think that at all." And then Grant said, "Oh yeah, I do." So, well, anyway,
what
so there you
know
go
about that.
The wedding present. I'm still pro wedding present, although Barrett has apparently had a he's in a spat right now with the band. So, okay, now if they came around here, you'd go see them live, wouldn't you, Barrett?
Yeah.
They wouldn't like. Maybe what if they started the set with those first four songs?
Then it's like
he'd storm out. Then
I'm out of here.
All right, I think $0 worth for sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we all have busy schedules, so we should probably sign off. Anybody got any closing remarks?
I actually have one thing I was going to mention that I didn't before. On Netflix, there's the IFC series Documentary Now. Have you seen any of this?
Yes,
I have
not. Where Bill Hader and Fred Armisen Every week they star in kind of a different spoof of a different famous documentary. And yesterday I watched they did a two-part documentary that's supposed to be like the Eagles movie that I think we talked about before.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like the Rise and Fall of the Eagles or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's the 70s band that they're in called the Blue Jean Committee. And, you know, it happens. It's all the same stuff. Like, you know, somebody gets too famous and goes solo and quits the band and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's pretty funny and I'd recommend it. So, check that out on Netflix.
I saw the one they did on, the takeoff on Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the only one I saw, and that was very good.
From what I hear, they're pretty up and down from episode to episode, but I think these ones are pretty good.
Right.
It's funny because they're like a struggling Chicago band in the early, 70s. And they rise to fame singing like all these California songs, like the Eagles and like you know, all these other bands. But they've never actually been to California, so they just like make up song about Seagull. And so they're in Chicago. They, as children, they go to a sausage academy or something. I don't know. It's funny. You got to see it, and so I'd check that out.
All right.
Sounds good. All right, and everybody keep watching your favorite teams, whether it's the Green Bay Packers, Wisconsin Badgers, Virginia Tech Hokies.
Indeed.
Marquette Golden Eagles.
Sure.
Let's see, who else can
Tottenham Hotspur. You
can't
Tottenham, Sunderland.
Don't talk about what might have happened today. I don't know.
Barrett doesn't know. I don't know either.
Tottenham versus Sunderland today.
That's right.
Right.
So
yeah.
You guys are going to duke it out.
We are. It's going to turn into a brawl. Okay. Thanks, Chris. Glad you could make it. Come on the podcast again.
Perhaps.
Yeah. You're not going to promise anything. All right. We'll talk to everybody next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.